everybody. Welcome to Come Follow Me Daily Dose. I'm Lindsay Hansen, and today is April 16th. Today we're going to continue in the book of Enos, and we're going to continue talking about the conversion of Enos and the experience that he has with this conversion. Yesterday we talked about Enos and how his soul hungered and he knelt down in mighty prayer and supplication. Well, let's take a look at what happens next. Verse 5 says, "And there came a voice unto me saying, Enos, thy sins are forgiven thee, and thou shalt be blessed." So what we see here is as Enos experiences conversion and as he takes the proper steps of repentance, his ability to receive revelation and his ability to believe the revelation that he receives increases. Now, I want to make something really clear here. Revelation comes to us in very, very clear ways. However, I think it's important to recognize that oftentimes for us, as we receive revelation, it's not always as immediate and not always as clear as this was for Enos. And I think that that's important because sometimes I think we expect the obvious, we expect the immediate, we expect the lightning bolt. And for us, and even for Enos at other times in his life, I'm sure, revelation is often more quiet, more subtle, and more, not necessarily slow, but it's more of a process. Elder Bednar spoke about this a little bit in 2014 in a talk called The Spirit of Revelation. And in that talk, he talks about two different light sources and compares it to revelation. He said that we've all had the experience of sitting in a dark room when someone comes and flips on a light and how that light comes to us immediate and obvious. He said sometimes revelation is that way, like it was here for Enos. He said, but more often than not, revelation comes more like a sunrise. How gradually, little bit by little bit, the sun will rise until everything is illuminated. And that more often in our lives, revelation comes to us by that means, little bit by little bit, piece by piece, until the light or the full revelation is before us. Elder Bednar then goes on to say, from these two ordinary experiences with light, we can learn much about the spirit of revelation. A light turned on in a dark room is like receiving a message from God quickly, completely, and all at once. Many of us have experienced this pattern of revelation as we have been given answers to sincere prayers or been provided with needed direction or protection according to God's will and timing. However, this pattern of revelation tends to be more rare than common. The gradual increase of light radiating from the sun is like receiving a message from God line upon line, precept upon precept. Most frequently, revelation comes in small increments over time and is granted according to our desire, worthiness, and preparation. Such communications from Heavenly Father gradually and gently distill upon our souls as the dews from heaven. This pattern of revelation tends to be more common than rare. I love this example and this quote from Elder Bednar because I think sometimes we, or again, maybe just me, we have a tendency to overlook the gradual revelation in our lives. We think, oh man, I'm not receiving revelation. I'm not experiencing revelation because oftentimes in our lives, we have experienced to some degree that immediate revelation. And so since we've experienced that, for some reason, we think that all revelation should be that way. And so oftentimes, most of the time, we are receiving revelation. We're just receiving it gradually, line upon line. And it's almost so imperceptible that sometimes we don't even recognize that it's happening at all. And so I think one of the great challenges of this life, especially as we are learning to hear him, as our prophet has asked us to do, is to learn to recognize and to receive those subtle, smaller, line upon line types of revelation. We need to learn to see the light on the horizon coming up instead of only being able to perceive the immediate light being turned on in our lives. So even though that gradual revelation is more common, here Enos receives the light turning on type of revelation. Enos, thy sins are forgiven thee, and thou shalt be blessed. But what's even more impressive is Enos's response. Verse 6 where he says, "And I, Enos, knew that God could not lie, wherefore my guilt was swept away." I love the trust that Enos has. in the Lord and also in himself. First of all, he says, if the Lord said it, I'm going to believe it. And I love that. I think that we all need to adopt that kind of trust in the Lord more fully, that we just believe the words that he says, whether it's through revelation or through prophets, through the scriptures. That attitude of believing that Enos has is beautiful. But also, I love the trust that Enos had in himself. This verse doesn't say that Enos said, well, I, Enos, wasn't sure if that was my own thoughts or the Lord's thoughts, so I continued to feel guilty for another 2 months while I sorted that out. That is not what the scripture says. It would be less impressive if the scripture said that, but it would be more true to our lives, right? Sometimes we receive revelation and we question it. We question our own ability to receive revelation. We question our own motives and we think, well, was that my thought? Is that just what I want? Or is this the Lord speaking? I love that Enos trusted himself enough to believe the revelation that came. And what's almost even more impressive here is Enos's trust that the atonement of Jesus Christ could heal him. Sometimes the hardest part of repentance is trusting the atonement enough to believe that we are forgiven. And Enos just accepts it. His trust in the Lord is so great that he knows that he is forgiven. It reminds me of a talk that I've referenced several times because it's one of my favorites, given in 2006 by Elder Bowen. He said, "The atonement of Jesus Christ is available to each of us. The atonement is infinite. It applies to everyone, even you. It can clean, reclaim, and sanctify even you." That is what infinite means: total, complete, all, forever. President Boyd K. Packer has taught, there is no habit, no addiction, no rebellion, no transgression, no apostasy, no crime exempted from the promise of complete forgiveness. That is the promise of the atonement of Christ. And my friends, we need to trust in Christ's atonement enough to believe that it can heal even us, sanctify even us, cleanse even us, so that when we repent, we can trust immediately the forgiveness of the Lord. My friends, we have to be willing to trust the Savior enough to let go and to allow him to take those sins and those mistakes from us. I once heard a stake president speak, and he was talking about this same sort of thing, about repentance and being willing to forgive ourselves. And he said, if we are not forgiving ourselves for our mistakes after the Lord has said that it was done and finished, it would be like buying a car and making payments on a car, and that once that car was paid off, continuing to make those payments, continuing to send in that check every month. He said no one would ever do that because they would trust the dealership when the dealership said, it's enough, the car is paid for. My friends, our sins have been paid for. Christ has purchased us with his atoning blood. We have to now trust him enough to turn everything over to him, to let him take our mistakes, to let him take our sins, to let him take our guilt. That is what the atonement is for. It's not just a magic eraser to blot away the mistakes. The Savior has taken it for himself, and he has already done that. Now it's up to you and I to trust him enough to let go. When he says, "Take my yoke upon you," we have to trust him to do it. When he says that he has forgiven and remembers your sins no more, we have to trust him. When he invites us to come unto him, we have to trust him. My friends, it's my testimony that there is no one more trustworthy than our Father in heaven and our Savior. We can trust them with all our pains, our afflictions, our temptations, our sins, our mistakes. We can trust them. And when we do, we are better able to believe them when they say, "Thy sins are forgiven thee, and thou shalt be blessed." Thank you so much for listening today. If you're enjoying this podcast, make sure to follow us on social media, subscribe, like, comment, or share. This has been Come Follow Me, Daily Dose, and I'm Lindsay Hansen.